folks, this is Pastor Brennan coming to you live in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brennan live broadcast. And it's good to be here today. Happy Tuesday. I am doing my broadcast a little bit earlier than I thought I would. And today, I don't want to say it's a Christmas message. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, I don't know. I guess it is what it is. Let's put it that way. The message is what it is. And the title of the message is Why Jesus Was Not Born on Christmas. And we're going to go through some things tonight about why he wasn't. And we're actually going to be starting in a place where not too many people think. Like, not too many people think of where to start. So, we're going to be talking about that tonight. excuse me. I want to kind of get into some prayer requests here. And just really quickly, if anybody has any prayer requests, you can feel free to send them. I got to pull it up here on my Evernote. I have prayer requests. On Evernote, if I can find them. Here we go. There we go. Okay. So, please pray for me for the message. Pray for me. Pray for the videos. Pray for my family. Pray for the ministry. There is a sister that she needs prayer. Let's see here. If I can find it on my phone. Here, real quick. Let's see here. Please pray for a fellow sister. There is something going on with her sister and stuff like that. So pray for them. Don't know what's going on for there. Please pray for another sister with her mother and her ministry that God has put it on her heart to do. Pray for Brother Joey and for his pain. I know there are times he feels pain, so please pray for him. And I think that's going to be about the major ones. So if you can keep those in prayer for now, and that would be good. So, as you all know, Christmas is coming up. And I'm not too huge, I guess, into Christmas. I guess just because of things that I've learned about it, what's really behind it and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm not bothered by anyone giving me a card or a gift of any kind. I will still accept those things. So, you know, with that said, Merry Christmas, and I hope you do have a very good Merry Christmas and a good New Year. But the thing is here's why I say I'm not too huge into Christmas is because Christmas is not the Lord's birthday. As a matter of fact, we really don't know exactly when he was born. We just sort of have kind of a rough edged timeline of when he could have been born. According to what I've seen and the stuff I researched, he would have been born somewhere probably around 4 BC. Now I'm not entirely sure. I mean, you take a couple years off, take 2 years off, that would bring it down to 2. So, I mean, that might fit in the timeline of when Herod was killed and stuff like that. But we're not going to actually focus on Herod. We're really not going to talk a lot about Herod. We're not going to really talk about Herod. We're going to be talking about Zacharias and his ministration. And so I'm going to, so I'm going to be kind of getting into that. But Christmas is, here's the thing, Christmas is not... Christmas is actually not the birth of Christ. But here's the thing. Even though it's not the birth of Christ, there is something interesting around this time of year that had happened, and we'll be getting into that. But at the same time, I do want to say this. I have here, I don't know if anyone can see this. This is a kind of thing I kind of researched and studied. Occult holidays and Sabbaths. Okay, this is the occult. I don't know if anyone can see that or not. Let me just get my, you know what, let me get my ugly face out of the way. But if anyone can see that, it's eight nights of human sacrifice that is there. And so, anyway, so let me read to you the one that's coming up. Okay? You have, so coming up in December 20th to the 23rd, there is a human night sacrifice in the occult called Yule. Okay? Yule. That's what that is. Okay? But and that's usually going to be around the winter solstice. Just a couple things I kind of want to point out to you as per Christmas and the occult. Let me just kind of point some stuff out, because I want to show you as to why, you know, Jesus was not born. I guess this really isn't the message. This is more of a prelude, as you will. It's kind of like a prequel. We'll put it that way. A prequel. But here's the thing. Winter solstice. Okay, 13 weeks. 13 is a huge number in the occult. It's a huge number in Freemasonry. So you got Scottish. It's primarily used in York Rite Freemasonry, because York Rite is 13 levels. Okay, but it's also huge. It's a huge occultic number. It's a number that the occult really associates themselves with. So December 21st to 22nd, Yule. Okay, you know, like Yuletide, you know, Yule, Y-U-L. Okay, this is when the sun begins its northward trek in the sky, and days begin to grow longer again. Pagans celebrated the winter solstice by burning the Yule log. What is usually the Yule log symbolized with? What holiday? Christmas. Okay. Since the sun had reversed itself and was now rising in the sky, pagans believed this was a sign that the human sacrifices carried out in Samhain had been accepted by the gods. Little g. Samhain is Halloween. Okay. It says here, there's Roman Catholic ties to this, by the way, too. And the Roman Catholic Church later changed the day of celebration on December 25th, calling it Christmas. Okay? So, we always say that Christ is the reason for the season. Okay? But here's the thing. Yule is an occultic holiday, and it was the Roman Catholic Church that later changed the day of celebration to December 25th, calling it Christmas. So basically, this pagan holiday of Yule, the Catholics said, okay, we're going to put it on the 25th, and they're going to call it a different name. They're going to call it Christmas. Why does that not surprise anybody? Well, why does that not surprise me, I should say? The Catholic Church has always taken pagan things and Christianizing it, thinking that it is a Christian thing when it's not. The Roman Catholic Church, people think that the Roman Catholic Church is a Christian denomination. It is not. The Roman Catholic Church is ancient Babylonian witchcraft. That's what that is. the devil will become in disguise the very thing he is trying to destroy. Remember that. Okay? Remember that. Now, really quickly, I want you to consider the pagan roots of popular symbols of Christmas. Okay? These are some of the pagan roots. Okay? The Christmas tree. The sacred tree of the winter god. Druids believed the spirit of their gods resided in the tree. Most ancient pagans knew the tree represented Nimrod, reincarnated in the Tammuz. Pagans also looked upon the tree as a phallic symbol. I'm not trying to sound disgusting or perverted, but that's what that is. It's a phallic symbol. Okay? The star, the Pantelopa, okay? I can't pronounce it. Please forgive me. The five-pointed star is a powerful symbol of Satan. Second only to the hexagram, the star is the sacred symbol of Nimrod and has nothing whatsoever to do with Christianity. Okay? The candles represent the sun god's newborn fire. Pagans the world over, pagans the world over love and use candles in their rituals and ceremonies. Certain colors are also, though, to represent specific powers. The extensive use of candles is usually a very good indication that the service is pagan, no matter what the outward trappings might be. Mistletoe is the sacred plant of the Druids, symbolizing pagan blessings of fertility. Thus, kissing under the mistletoe is the first step in the reproductive cycle. Witches also use the white berries in potions. The wreaths are circular, and so they represent the female organ. Wreaths are associated with fertility and the circle of life. Santa Claus. Former Satanists have told me that Santa is an anagram for Satan. In the New Age, the god Sanat Kumura is most definitely an anagram for Satan. The mythical attributes and powers ascribed to Santa are eerily close to those possessed by Jesus Christ. The reindeer are horned animals representing the horn god, the stag god, okay, or the stag god of pagan religions, okay. Santa's traditional number of reindeer in his team is 8. In satanic gematria, 8 is the number of new beginnings or the cycle of reincarnation. The Illuminati views the number 8 as a symbol of their new world order. Elves are imp-like creatures who are Satan's little helpers. They are also demons. Green and red are the traditional colors of the season, as they are the traditional pagan colors of winter. Green is Satan's favorite color, so it is appropriate it should be one of the traditional colors for Christmas. Red is the color of human blood, Satan's highest form of sacrifice. For this reason, communism adopted red as its main color. December 25th is known as the Nativity of the Sun. This date is the birthday of Tammuz, the son of the reincarnation of the sun god. Traditionally, December 21st is known as Yule. The Roman Catholic Church moved the celebration of Yule to December 25th. So December 25th is the birthday of Tammuz. It is not the birthday of Christ. Okay? We need to understand that Christ was not born on December 25th. Okay? December 25th is also known to the Romans as Saturnalia, a time of deliberate debauchery, drinking through repeated toasting, known as wassail, was a key to the debauchery of this celebration. Fornication was symbolized by the mistletoe, And the entire event was finished with a great feast, the Christmas dinner. Even the name Christmas is pagan. Christi meant Christ, while Mass meant Mass. Since all pagan Masses are commemorating death, the name Christmas literally means the death of Christ. A deeper meaning lies in the mention of Christ without specifying Jesus. Thus, Antichrist is in view here. The pagans celebrate Christmas as a celebration of their coming Antichrist, who will deal a death blow to the Jesus Christ of Christianity. Christmas, let me read that again. The pagans celebrate Christmas as a celebration of their coming Antichrist. Antichrist, people. Antichrist. Amen? That's what Yule is. That's what Christmas is. Christmas ain't no Christian holiday. Okay? Christmas ain't no Christian holiday. Why we celebrate it, I don't even know. It's for some reason, you know, my family, I don't know. It's going to take time. You know, stuff like this takes time to minister to people. You got to be tactful about it. Okay, so listen. Christmas is not about the birth of Christ. It is about the Antichrist. Okay, Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. Now, there is something interesting that happens around this time. It'll be interesting. We'll get to that here in a minute. Okay. Well, I mean, not in a minute, but we'll get to that in a bit. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know why I shared that, but it was something that actually is actually a good reminder to me that Christmas is not a Christian holiday, and Christmas is not it's not the time of the birth of Christ. Now listen, I'm not against anyone celebrating the birth of Christ. I'm not against that. But Jesus was not born on December 25th, okay? Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a case as to why Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, okay? But a word of warning to all of you guys. I have a little bit of a disclaimer for you. I'm going to be sharing some stuff that may seem far-fetched. Okay? It might seem out there, but it makes sense. But I want you to keep this in mind. Don't take my word for it. Okay? You take what I say with a grain of salt. Okay? Some of the stuff I can be wrong at, okay? I'm going to tell you, there's probably going to be some stuff in this message that I might be wrong about, okay? But I want you to set aside any preconceived notions and just listen with an open mind, okay? So, with that said, let's go ahead and let's dive into the lesson, because I got a lot of information to talk to you guys about today and tonight, and I already kind of put out a lot of information as well. Okay, so with that said, let's go ahead and dive into the lesson. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 9:6. Okay, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Okay? Emmanuel means God with us. Amen? So, let's go ahead and let's dive into it. So, the birth of Jesus Christ. By traditions of man, we tend to celebrate it on December 25th. Okay? but he was not born on December 25th. Okay? Now, to really understand the birth of Christ, we need to go back to Zacharias. And the reason why, because Zacharias was a priest who was married to a woman named Elizabeth. And we need to take a look at first his order, his administration. Okay, his ministration. But we also need to take a look at the conception of John the Baptist. And we need to take a look, and via there, we can take a look from script. We can take a look from scripture, kind of as to where this is all going. Okay, so we need to take a look at Zacharias as the birth of John the Baptist. The reason why we need to do so is because the birth of John the Baptist. We need to take a look at it because John was born 6 months before Jesus Christ. Okay? In other words, John is 6 months older. He is 6 months older than Jesus Christ. John was born first. Okay? Now, because of this, this is why we need to take a look at Zacharias, because we need to look at his priestly class and about when he had served. Because we need to take a look at when he served and when he got back home and when Elizabeth conceived. Okay? From there, we can move forward. So, in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Okay, so let me tell you something, folks. So right here we see that Zacharias was of the course of Abiah, okay, or Abijah. Okay. Now, I want you to think of the number 24. Okay, the number 24 is the number of the priesthood. And I want you guys to bear this in mind because we're going to briefly cover the number 24. Okay, but we see that Zacharias was the course of Abiah. Okay, now what number was Abiah as per the priestly course? Well, that's a good question. Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, okay, 24 is the number of the priesthood. Okay, 1 Chronicles 24:10. Isn't that interesting? Verse 10. "The seventh to Hakatz, the eighth to Abiah. Here we see that Zacharias was in the eighth course of Abiah. Okay. Abiah was the eighth course in the priestly course. Okay. Now, let's see here. Hang on a second. So here's something I want to point out to you. Okay. You will see that in the priesthoods, there are 24 courses. Abiah was number 8. Okay. The number of the priesthood is 24. And guess what? In 1 Chronicles 24, you have the 24 priesthoods. The priesthood courses. Wow. Isn't that interesting? So 24 is the number of the priesthood. Okay. Now, I got to move my notes down here for a second. So we see that Zacharias was in the eighth course of Abiah. Okay. Because Abiah was the eighth course of the priesthood. And Zacharias was in the course of Abiah. Okay. Now, let's see here. Why is the priestly course important? It's important because we need to understand Zacharias' ministration. And when we figure that out, we're able to roughly figure out the conception of John the Baptist, as well as the conception of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well as the birth of John the Baptist, as well as the birth of Jesus Christ. And the birth of John the Baptist is important because John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Okay, we have to remember that. Okay, that is why it's important to take a look at Zacharias and when he served in his administration and when he got back home. Okay, and that's what we're going to be getting into. Now, we have to keep in mind that the courses were changed every week, beginning at each Sabbath. Okay, also all the courses served together at 3 great feasts. This is because men were appointed to go before God 3 times a year. Therefore, we need to keep in mind that all these courses would have had to serve together. Okay, they had to serve together. Okay, and Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 17. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat the unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of the harvest of the firstfruits of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year. When thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year, all thy male shall appear before the Lord your God. So we see that there are 3 times a year that men had to go to Jerusalem to appear before the Lord. Amen. So now the 2 yearly ministrations of Abiah will be as follows. Okay. Abiah first served from the month of Kislew, which would be... it would probably be somewhere between December 6th through the 12th. Okay, that's the first ministration. That's the first ministration of Zacharias. So Zacharias, between December 6th and December 12th, I'm guessing this is probably going to be in the year 6 BC, prior to what I have in my notes. Okay, now the second ministration was in the following year, 5 BC, and I'll tell you why I say that, because as we go continue on, I'll tell you why that is. I'll show you why that is. The second ministration of Zacharias was from Sivan, which is 12 to 18, which would put you around June 13th through the 19th. Okay? So the announcement, therefore, to Zacharias in the temple as to the conception of John the Baptist. So this is the time when Zacharias had the vision, had the visitation from Gabriel. Okay? So when he received that visitation from Gabriel, okay, that took place anywhere from 12 to 18 Sivan, which would be June 13th to the 19th. In the year 5 BC. Okay, so in the year 5 BC is probably when Zacharias, during his ministration, had received the announcement of the conception of John the Baptist. Okay? But here's the thing. After finishing his ministration, Zacharias departed to his own house, which was in a city in the hill country, Judah. Okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So after his ministration was done with, his completed, he went back home. In Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 40. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country and hastened into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Okay, so it was a hill country. It was in a hill country, okay? In Judah. Okay, now I want you guys to keep this in mind. Okay, the following day at the end of the course of Abiah, being a Sabbath, okay, it was a Sabbath, he would not be able to leave Jerusalem before the 20th. He wouldn't be, so that means he had to stay probably past the 20th, okay, because he couldn't leave before. He had to leave either on or after. Now, keep in mind this. The 30-mile journey would probably occupy for an old man a couple of days at least, okay? So you want to give Zacharias a couple of days to get home, okay? That just give him some, we need to give him some time to get home, okay? He would therefore arrive at his house either on the 21st or the 22nd of June, okay? Now, this leaves ample time for the miraculous conception of Elizabeth to take place either on or about the 23rd of Sivan, which would correspond to June 23rd to 24th of that year. So be June 23rd to 24th, 5 BC, was when the conception took place. Now, you got to remember this, okay? Zacharias was struck dumb. He couldn't speak. But who says you have to speak when going in unto your wife? I'm just going to put it in biblical terms. Think about that. Now, miraculous conception, what does that mean? It means that in Elizabeth's old age, she was able to conceive and bear a son. Okay? But you don't have to, a man doesn't have to speak in order to know his wife, if you know what I mean. Okay? I'm putting it in biblical terms. So with that said, the conception of John the Baptist was probably around the 23rd of Sivan, which would be June 24th in the year 5 BC. Okay, around 5 BC on June 24th, around June 24th, around that time, was when the conception actually took place. Okay, now, I have to mention this. Now, since we have a starting point, we can kind of go ahead and start proceeding to a timeline. Okay? Now, everybody should know that it takes 9 months for a baby to be born. Okay? So, with the conception of John the Baptist, we do need to add 6 months. Now, here's the reason why I say 6 months. Because when Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, Elizabeth was 6 months into her pregnancy. Okay? This is why we need to add 6 months. Okay? So we, in Luke chapter 1, verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, okay? In Luke chapter 1, verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Okay, this is Gabriel talking to Mary, okay? This is what Gabriel said, okay? He said, and behold, a cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. So, Gabriel is saying to Mary that this is her, God is showing you through Gabriel that this was 6 months. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. However, you need to add another 3 months, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Okay? So when you count from June to 6 months, okay, June to 6 months. Okay, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. From the time of the conception to 6 months brings you to December. With that said, that will put Mary's conception right around December 24th or December 25th, which would be the first of Tebeth. Okay? So Mary's conception by the power of the Holy Ghost was actually right around the 24th or the 25th. So let me ask you a question. Why are we celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ if in fact this is the right timeline and it's the true timeline? Not saying it isn't, okay? But if it is, if Jesus Christ, if Mary conceived right around December 24th or 25th, why are we celebrating the birth of Christ on the 24th or 25th if she just conceived? It takes 9 months for a baby to grow in the womb of their mothers. Okay? It takes 9 months, and then the baby is born. Okay? Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. And we're going to start, I'm going to read some chapters here. Okay? Luke 1, 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Starting in verse 26. Okay? It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Amen. Now, let's go down in that next verse 39, and we're going to read up to verse 50. Okay? Verse 50. It says, "And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, and to a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Stop right there for a second. So Mary probably at this point had already conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, the babe in Elizabeth's womb, John, okay, leapt in her womb, okay, for joy. For joy. That should tell you that babies that are at the beginning, that life begins at conception. That should tell you that life begins at conception. That means if that baby leapt in her womb, that is a living soul. So why are we as a nation aborting and killing and murdering these innocent children that haven't been born? There's no excuse for that. Because whether at conception or at 6 months, that is a living soul. Life begins at conception. That is biblical. Amen. Anyways, let's continue on. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there should be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For he behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Listen, this all happened right around, had happened right around December 24th to the 25th, the 24th or 25th of 5 BC, okay? That's about where we're at right now, okay? So because Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, you still have to add 3 more. Because remember, it takes 9 months for a baby to be born. Okay? It takes 9 months for a baby to be born. It takes 9 months total for a baby to grow in the womb and then to be born. Okay? So when you count from December to 3 months, you will end up in March. Okay? So December, January, February, March. Okay? That's 9 months total. So, you end up around March. If you give a couple days, it would put the birth of John the Baptist around anywhere from March 28th to the 29th in the year of 4 BC, which is the 7th of Nisan. Okay? So, John the Baptist was born roughly around March 28th to the 29th of Nisan. Okay? But, at this point, and actually, hey, just hold on to that thought. In Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 63, let's go ahead and read that. 57 to 63. Okay. It says, Now Elizabeth's full time came that she would be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of that kindred that is called by that by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, His name is John. And they all marveled at him. You know why? Because Zacharias was struck dumb. He couldn't speak for 9 months. Why? So that this thing can come to pass. Okay? Now. Okay? Around March 28th to the 29th of 4 BC, John the Baptist is born. Okay, he is born. However, at this time, Mary is only 3 months pregnant at this time. Therefore, you have to add another 6 months. Why? Because again, it takes 9 months for a baby to be born. Takes 9 months for a baby to grow in the womb, okay, before the baby's born. So you have to add another 6 months to Mary before she gives birth. So if you add 6 months to March, okay, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, it's 6 months. From March to September is 6 months. 6 months from March you know, end up around September 29th BC, which is 15th of Tishri. Okay? Now, I do want to make a point. Back in March, when John the Baptist was born, okay, so John the Baptist was born in March. So that means there's another 6 months to go before Jesus was born. Okay? That would fulfill what Malachi would have said. Okay? In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That's God is right in what he said, because John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus Christ. And who was born first? It was John the Baptist who was born first. And then 6 months later, Jesus was then born. Amen. Then Jesus was born. Now, let's see here. I got to scroll down here. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I hope this is a blessing to you guys, because I want this to be a blessing to you guys. Okay? Now, with that said, okay, like I said, from March to September, it is 6 months, and that's all Mary needed before Jesus was born. And that puts you around September 29th of 4 BC. Okay? I think it's 4 or 5 BC. I can't remember. 4 BC. So it will put you around September 29th, 4 BC. Now, with that said, okay, there is a feast day that happens in September or October. Now, here's why I say this. Because when you start to deal with the Jewish lunar calendar, okay, the Jewish lunar calendar starts around March or April, depending on the lunar cycles, because the lunar cycles are irregular. Okay, the lunar cycles are 29 and a half days. It's because of that half day, the feast will land on different days of each year. So the feast that occurs around September or October is, okay, the Feast of Tabernacles is usually what happens around September or October. So depending on the irregular lunar cycles, the Feast of Tabernacles can happen on September, but it can also happen in October. It depends on the lunar cycles, the irregular lunar cycles, okay? But I believe, and I can be wrong at this, that the Feast of Tabernacles is when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Okay, Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, as tradition says. I believe if you were to map it out and to, you know, do it that way, Jesus Christ, he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Now, let's continue on. Okay, so in Leviticus 23:34. Okay, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." Deuteronomy 16:13. "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." Zechariah 14:19. "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." It says all nations. It doesn't just say a nation. It doesn't say the nation of Israel. It says all nations. And by the way, Egypt is a Gentile nation. Okay? Now, is Exodus 12:14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it to a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Exodus 13:10. "Thou shalt keep this ordinance and his season from year to year." Okay, now what is the Feast of Tabernacles? The Feast of Tabernacles, known as the Feast of Booths or Sukkot. Okay, the Feast of Tabernacles is a 7-day feast that usually takes place anywhere between September and October each year. Okay? And the reason for that is because of the irregular lunar cycles. Okay? The Jewish lunar calendar is irregular because it's 29 and a half days. That half a day throws everything off. Now, every feast day will start at the end. So every feast day will start at sunset. So it'll go from sunset to sunset. Okay? Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe, is a time of thanksgiving to God the Father that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in this world. In other words, the Feast of Tabernacles is when He was born. It's His birthday week. Okay? It's His birthday week. In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Okay, the Feast of Tabernacles is a seven-day feast. And I believe, and Jesus was born on the first day of the feast. Now, even though it was a seven-day feast, Jesus Christ was circumcised on the eighth day. Okay, so 8 days after He was born, He was circumcised. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb." Okay, now, I do want to say this about His circumcision. Many of us tend to think that when Jesus was in Gethsemane, shedding, like when He was sweating blood, okay, we tend to think that was the first time He ever shed blood, okay? But actually, the first time He ever shed His blood, the very first time you ever see that, was during when He was circumcised. Okay, it wasn't in the Garden of Gethsemane the first time. The first time was when He shed His blood was when He was circumcised. Because when a person or a child gets circumcised, it's a mess. Blood gets everywhere. Okay. Now I do want to say this. This is something that I've learned and something I have to do more research on. But what I learned is that. When Jesus was born, the Bible says that there was a taxing that took place. Okay? Now something I learned is that historically they didn't do the taxing until September. Somewhere in September, October is when they didn't do the taxing. Okay? In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city." Okay? So, the taxing, you know, part of the reason why I think there's probably no Rome is because they're probably, you know, it was taking place during the taxing. When Jesus was born, it could have been taking place in the taxing. Okay? Another reason why I don't think that there was room, because it had to be, there wasn't any room in the inn, was probably because it was on a feast day. Why? Because when a feast day was coming, everybody would go to Jerusalem. So it's either because of the taxing or because the fact it was the Feast of Tabernacles, everybody was in Jerusalem and probably surrounding. Okay? So, at the same time, with the taxing and all that, okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you think was there any room to the inn? Well, and like I said, I personally think it was either because it was a feast day. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Men had to appear before the Lord three times a year. Okay? Three times a year. Okay, men had to appear before the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." So, I'm not going to say what's definite and what's not, but I think there's one of two possibilities, or it could be both. Due to the fact there was no room in the inn, it was either A, because it was due to the taxing, which historically didn't happen until September or October, or two, it was a feast day, the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you look every year, because of the lunar cycles, it bounces from September and October. You don't see it before or after. It's either September or October. Amen. And so we see, so in conclusion, Jesus Christ could not have been born on December 25th. And he couldn't have been born during the summer months, as some people would have it, like June or July, because from March to September would be the completion of Mary's. It would be 6 months, but it would be the completion by September. It would be completion from Mary's 9 months, because it took place between, so the time that Mary was pregnant, it was from December, 24th, 25th. That's when the conception happened by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you go through to September. Okay. It is exactly 9 months. And 9 months is what it takes for a baby to grow in the womb and to be birthed into the world. Amen. So listen, I want you guys to don't take everything I say don't take everything I said for truth. I want you to ponder that. Do your own study. Okay? I want you to do your own study on that. Okay? If I'm wrong. Okay, listen. I want you guys to be Bereans. Okay? And I want you to take with what I say and you match it with this Bible. And if what I say doesn't match with this Bible, then let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm wrong, then I pray and ask that God will rebuke, correct, and chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. But if I am right, I pray and ask that he will show you. But if I'm wrong, I will have to stand in judgment for it one of these days. But if I am right, I pray and ask that he will show you what I'm talking about. Amen. So, listen, I love you guys. Okay. I want to preach the truth and preach the truth in love. And I know that a lot of people are probably not going to agree with me on this, and they're going to dislike me for it. But listen, I'm not going to be here to sit here and argue with you over this issue. Okay? Not going to sit here and argue with anybody. Okay? And I know that a lot of what I said is probably a very hard pill to swallow. A very big and hard pill to swallow. Okay? So, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm only just trying to preach the truth in love by the help of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I just want to do what God wants me to do and accomplish His will on earth. Amen. But there are things that we need to clarify and clear up. Amen. So, listen, I love you guys. I hope you got something from this. I pray and hope that this makes sense to you. I pray and hope that this speaks to you. Okay? I love you guys. I just want to do what I can for the Lord. Amen? Listen, if you're watching this today, and if you don't believe, okay, Now, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Okay? If you're not saved, okay, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, you'll be saved. If you go before the Lord and you sincerely repent of your sin, ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to fill you with his Spirit, and ask the Lord to come into your heart and life and be the Lord and Savior of your heart and life. Okay? And put your faith and trust at what he did for you on the cross, you'll be saved. Amen. And the whole reason why Jesus came was to lay his life down so that we might be saved. But guess what? Jesus Christ isn't dead. But Jesus Christ, he took his life back up again and he lives forevermore. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming soon. The question is, are you prepared? Will you be ready when he comes? And what does it mean to be ready? It means that you are born again, you're saved by faith through grace, and you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. But if you're not ready, today's the day to get it right and get ready. Amen? Because tomorrow, he could come. We don't know. Amen? Listen, I love you guys. God bless you. I hope that you got something from this. At this time, I'd like to play just a short hymn. Okay, it's instrumental. I just want to play a short hymn, and we'll close it off there, all right? So with that said, let's go ahead and play it. Anyways, that was, I believe, that was Fairest Lord Jesus. It's a good one. But anyways, for those of you that came in late, I want to encourage you to go back and rewatch this. I talk about Christmas. The first part of this broadcast, I talk about how the humanite sacrifice in the occult is Yule, and how the Roman Catholic Church took Yule and put it on December 25th and changed it to Christmas. So really, Christmas is really the humanite sacrifice of Yule. And I get into a little bit of the symbolism at the beginning of the Christmas tree, the elves, and all that stuff. So I want to encourage you guys to go back and rewatch that. But also I want you to watch why Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, okay? I believe he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles, which occurs in September or October, depending on the Jewish lunar calendar, okay? Because the Jewish lunar calendar has irregular because of the half day, the 29 and a half days. So I want you to, if you guys can do me a favor and you take time at some point to rewatch this whole video, I'd appreciate that. Amen. So listen, with that said, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. If God willing, tomorrow I might do a devotion, but I might just do a devotion a little bit earlier before I go to church tomorrow. So pray for me. Pray for the videos. Pray for my family. Pray that God will have his way and will with his ministry. Please keep the sermon audio ministry in prayer. Pray that God will take it and use it for his kingdom, for his glory. I think God will do some great things through that ministry. So pray for the sermon audio ministry. But with that said, that's all I really had. But if you guys missed it, and if you guys just tuning in, please, I want to encourage you to go back and rewatch the whole thing. It might be a blessing to you. I hope it is. But listen, there's things in tonight's message where I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And so, you know, just take these dates, the dates that I mentioned. I want you to take them and just take it with a grain of salt. Amen. Pray about it. Seek God's face and remember, be good Bereans, and in all that we do, let us think Bible. Amen. So listen, I love you guys. God bless you. Again, tomorrow, if good Lord willing, I probably will do a devotional tomorrow, and then we will be back on Thursday. I'll be back Thursday, and I will be doing Fishers of Men, and I will be continuing the Hebrews 11 faith series, talking about faith. And so my phone went crazy again. But with that said, I love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Have a good night.